Good this morning. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Exodus, because we're going to look at the Pharaoh of Exodus this morning. The Pharaoh is king of Egypt. We want to look at the king of Egypt during the time of the Exodus. So we want to turn our books to Exodus chapter 5. I guess we'll start reading in chapter 5 of Exodus. Turn your Bibles on over there. We're going to just read a few verses here and there as we go down through the story. And some of it I might just tell the story for time's sake. But we want to look at Pharaoh. And we want to see Pharaoh's response to Moses when Moses comes to say, "Let my people go." To free the people, we want to look at Pharaoh. And we want to ask ourselves the question, are we like the Pharaoh of the Exodus? Are we like this Pharaoh? Do we have the same tendencies, the same problems as this Pharaoh? And I hope if we see that we have these problems that this Pharaoh has, that we can be resolved from his example to turn away from this. We can see from his bad example how that we ought not to behave and that we could grow as Christians. In Exodus chapter 5, verse 1 says this, "And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, 'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness.' And Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go.'" So as we're going to go down through here and we want to pick out some of these problems of Pharaoh, the very first one that we want to start with here, Pharaoh says, "I know not the Lord." We start with Pharaoh not knowing what he should know. He did not know God. He did not accept the power of God. He did not know that it was God who had blessed Egypt to be as rich as it was. God who had been protecting over Egypt for Israel's sake and had blessed them. He did not know that it was God who had come to the Pharaoh a long time ago through Joseph and allowed Pharaoh to know, another Pharaoh, to know that there was a famine coming and it was time to prepare. He did not know what he should know. And we want to consider that for ourselves. How much are we striving to know about God? Do we have this problem, not knowing what we should know? Now let's go on now with the third verse. And it says, Exodus 5, verse 3, "And they said, 'The God of the Hebrews have met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence and with the sword.'" So now we see Pharaoh is presented with a clear demand and also faced with a warning. "Let my people go. Let them go that they may go into the wilderness 3 days' journey and make a sacrifice and worship God. Because if they don't, he might fall on them with the sword or with pestilence." How does Pharaoh respond to this demand? God is telling him what to do and is even backing it up with a punishment that might come. How does Pharaoh respond? Would we respond the same way? Pharaoh tries to play hardball. He tries to show his own strength in this. He tries to use his own skill, his own strength, his own wisdom. Let's read and see what he does in verse 4. "And the king of Egypt said unto them, 'Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works? Get you unto your burdens.' And Pharaoh said, 'Behold, the people of the land are now many, and ye make them rest from their burdens.' And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, 'Ye shall no more give the people straw to make bricks as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tale of the bricks which they did make heretofore shall be laid upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let their more work be laid on upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. So he thinks that spiritual things are vain words, and he thinks that work is more important than worship. That's what he's saying here in this last few verses. Work is more important. If you were busy enough, you wouldn't worry about these other things. You wouldn't hear about these other things. And he's showing his own strength over the situation. He goes and puts more work on them. He makes things harder for the Israelites. He makes the Israelites so that they get mad at Moses. He's trying to outsmart Moses. He's trying to outpower and outmuscle Moses. Use his power against Moses. But as you and I know, he can't outpower God. Man is not going to outpower God. He can't outsmart God. A man is never going to outsmart God. But do we try? Do we try to use our own wisdom, our own understanding about what's right and wrong, and try to figure it out for ourselves? Try to outsmart what God has told us? So then Moses goes back to God, and we'll go down now to verse 23 of Exodus chapter 5, where Moses is concerned over the situation. And let's look at what he says. He says in verse 23, "For since I came to Moses to speak in thy name, hath he done evil to this people, neither hath thou delivered thy people at all. And the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he shall let them go, and with strong hand shall he drive them out of his land." That's chapter 6, verse 1. So God says that he will show Moses, and he will show Pharaoh. For Pharaoh won't be tricked or accidentally let the people go, or they will sneak out in a secret way. But he said, with a strong hand, Pharaoh will let them go. Pharaoh will fight as hard as he can, and God's going to prove that as hard as Pharaoh can fight, it's not strong enough to fight God. You can't fight with God. We can't fight with God, and we've got to learn this lesson. And I hope through this sermon we'll see how Pharaoh tries. He tries with his own strength, and when that fails, he tries with his own stubbornness and self-will to withstand God. And he cannot. And we cannot. Let us learn this lesson. That's something that I wanted to teach my kids when I was little. You would punish them. And you've probably seen little kids do this also. They think that they're the boss. They think if you can tell them to sit down, then they can tell you to sit down. They think if you can tell them to hush, then they can tell you to hush. And I would tell them, you can't fight with me. Don't try to fight with me. I'm the daddy. And we have to learn that God is God, and we can't fight with Him. Let's don't try. So now let's go on down to chapter 7. And we see we're in chapter 7 of Exodus. God is still the same and still telling Pharaoh the same thing. Chapter 7, verse 10. "And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. And Pharaoh also called his wise men and his sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. And they cast down every man his rod, and it became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuseth to let the people go." Now Pharaoh's given this sign that God said that they would give him, to throw down the rod and it would turn into a serpent. And what does he do? He tries to disprove the sign. He tries to be equal with that. He has his magicians to come in and to simulate with a trick, with their enchantment, to try to make it disprove God's sign. Do we do the same thing? Do we look out in nature and see that there has to be a creator, and yet we say, we don't like that. We don't want to believe that there is somebody else in charge and somebody else that has the power, so we try our best to discredit it. We seek for ways to not believe in God. Do we do that? That's what Pharaoh did. He didn't like the fact that God was telling him what to do, so he wanted to try to say that God is no God. He tried to bring a trick. Let's don't do like Pharaoh. We know his end, and we will see it this morning if you don't know his end. Pharaoh refuses the command of God. He's saying to Moses, "Don't you know who I am? Pharaoh, why should I be told what to do?" He's Pharaoh. He gives the orders. He does whatever he wants. He's not going to let anybody tell him what to do. Is that us? We don't want to be like Pharaoh. Is that us? Would we consider ourselves like Pharaoh today? We don't want anyone to tell us what to do. Not even God. Don't tell me what I can't do. Don't tell me what I must do. We think we're sovereign. We say this, "Don't tell me." We think we have the right to decide for ourselves what's right and what's wrong. We don't need God to tell us. Is this us? So now what's going to happen to Pharaoh? He's been shown a sign. But now God is going to prove His power. So God changes the waters of Egypt into blood. And we call this the plagues. We say that God delivered Israel from Egypt with 10 plagues. And here's the first one. He changes the water of the rivers of Egypt to blood. It said that the waters changed to blood and they smelled, they stained. Let's look in chapter 7 and verse 23, where it talks about the people here and how they are suffering through this plague. Exodus chapter 7 and verse 23, "And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he set his heart to this also." So he didn't consider it in his heart, the fact that God had done this. And it says, "And all the Egyptians digged round about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the river. 7 days were fulfilled after that the Lord had smitten the river." There's no water to drink. They're even digging wells where they used to just get water from the river. That's what it looks like. And then what happens? Then God says again, "Let my people go, or I'll bring frogs upon the land." The second plague is going to bring frogs upon the land, bring frogs all over them. Here's what God says in chapter 8 and verse 1. "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs." And God did. He brought frogs all over. Frogs everywhere. Frogs into their houses. Frogs get into their ovens and into their food. Into everything. There was frogs everywhere. Because He refuses to let the people go and sacrifice unto God. And let the people go and worship to God. He refuses. Pharaoh is going to stand strong. He does not want to hear that God has power. But what happens here is he's got all these frogs everywhere. And he's already seen that the water was changed to blood and what they endured there. But he may think, well, we endured that. The 7 days of the water changed to blood. We made it. He continues to fight against God. Is that what we do when we see God trying to correct us in our lives and punishments? We said, well, I endured it one time before. I did what was wrong before, and yeah, it brought me problems, but I made it. And we go right in again. Rather than learning our lesson. But now let's look at what Pharaoh does in Exodus chapter 8 and verse 8, when they're having all these frogs all everywhere. And there's a pain. And he's still having to endure it. He doesn't endure all the way through this one. In Exodus 8, chapter 8, then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may sacrifice unto the Lord." But he didn't withstand the frogs. He called and said, "Entreat the Lord that he will take them away, and I'll do what he wants. I'll let the people go and sacrifice." Pharaoh was sorry for his punishment. He wasn't sorry for doing wrong. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. He says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death." So there's two different kinds of sorrow. A sorrow of the world and a sorrow that's godly sorrow, that worketh a repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. Godly sorrow brings repentance, a change in our heart to not want to do what we've done before. A change of ourselves, a change of our actions. But Pharaoh was sorry for the punishment that he'd endured. He was sorry that all the frogs came on him. He was not sorry that he hadn't obeyed God. Is that the way that we are? Just sorrowful, regretful for the punishments that come upon us, where our hearts are still the same. His heart was still against God, and he didn't do what he said he would do. Look at chapter 8 and verse 15. It says, But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. So he says, "I'm sorry for all of these frogs. Please take the frogs away and I will let the people go." The frogs are gone, and now he's got some relief. He's got a break. The Bible calls it respite. And now he hardens his heart and does not let the people go. He was sorrowful for his punishment, but he didn't have a change in his heart. His heart was still not made right. His heart was still against God. And he made a promise, and now he's broken against God. In Ecclesiastes 5, in verse 4, it says, "When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou vowest. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldst vow and not pay." It says God has no pleasure in that. God has no pleasure in fools that would make a promise and not keep it. Make a vow and then say, "I didn't really mean it," when it was our time to pay up. That's what Pharaoh did. He didn't keep what he said he would do. Breaking vows. Do we have this problem? So now let's see what happened to Pharaoh. He brought upon himself more punishment from this ordeal and lice. The third plague in Exodus 8 and verse 17 says, "And they did so, and Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in men and in beasts. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt." So God is proving himself and brought another punishment, brought another plague. The third plague is lice. Pharaoh has brought more upon himself. And now let's look at verse 19. Look at chapter 8, verse 19. Even the magicians are convinced. It was their job to stand before Pharaoh and to perform all of these things. But look at what they said. Verse 19. "Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, It is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said." So the people Pharaoh brings in and tries to say, prove that he's not God and has no power. They said, he's God. Pharaoh's heart is still hardened. Even when the evidence is clear, Pharaoh's still hard against God. We may look at Pharaoh and say, he's crazy. How could he do this? How could he keep going against God when they're saying to him, he is God. This is the finger of God. Well, how about us? How hard do we stand against God in our own self-will? How many times do we refuse to do what's right? How many times do we continue to do what we know is wrong? Yet we would look at Pharaoh and condemn him for not relinquishing his self-will. But let's look at ourselves. Are we the same? Do we have the Pharaoh problem? And I like to consider this a path that Pharaoh goes down. And I think that this right here, you see how hard that Pharaoh has become. I want to consider this as a warning to us to never start down the Pharaoh path. Never start down that path of refusing and fighting against God. We only hurt ourselves by defying God. And we see how we become harder and harder in our own heart. And it's more difficult for us to surrender our self-will. And what happened again? Pharaoh brings more punishment upon himself. The fourth plague, flies. Flies throughout all the land of Egypt. Flies in all of their houses, except God is merciful to the children of Israel. And the flies aren't there in the land of Goshen. Let's read this in Exodus chapter 8, verse 21 and 22. Read about the flies here. He says, "Else, if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and the ground whereon they are. And I will sever in that land, the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am Lord in the midst of the earth." God is showing His power, and He's going to make it very, very clear that it's a punishment on the Egyptians by not bringing the flies into the Israelites. Now just think about what they're suffering through. The flies. Just a few flies in your house can be aggravating. And you sit down to eat and there's flies flying around in your food and you start chasing them and trying to swat them. Just a few could be aggravating. But imagine, he said there are swarms of flies in their houses. A whole swarm in your house. I'm trying to sleep with all the flies and eat with all the flies. Trying to do anything with flies everywhere. See what suffering he's brought upon himself. But how much do we suffer? And we think, oh, well, we can endure it. Oh, well, we can get used to it. Suffering for our sins. Because we won't relinquish. How much will we suffer? You and I suffer before we relinquish our sin. So now we want to step and look at what Pharaoh does next. He tries to negotiate with God. Let's go down to verse 25. Exodus chapter 8 and verse 25. "And Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land." So what he's saying to them, you go and you do your sacrifice, but you do it here. Because they said, we need 3 days' journey out into the wilderness that we might worship God. He said, well, you go ahead and sacrifice. You sacrifice in this land. You go ahead and worship. You do it right here. He's trying to negotiate. Okay, worship your God, but you do it right here. You're still not allowed to leave. You're not allowed to do it the way you were told to do it. You're not allowed to do it the way that God says do it. We're going to compromise here. Some of my way has got to be in this. You're going to stay here. But is this what we do? We refuse God's terms, but we try to have God to meet us halfway. meet us with our requirements. Pharaoh is saying, can't we accomplish the same thing, but without all the effort into it? Do we do that? Say, God, I can accomplish, I know you told me to do all these things this way, but I can get the same thing done my way. And we try to change God's plan. But Moses said that the compromise would not do. Look at verse 37 now. Chapter 8, Exodus 8 and 37, he says, we will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice unto the Lord our God as he shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord in the wilderness, only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. He says, okay. He finally seems to be giving in. He says, okay, I'm going to let you go. He knows that the negotiation is not going his way, but he says, I'm going to let you go. Don't go very far. He's trying to still drive a hard bargain with God. He still does not want to lose his control. And he's saying, entreat for me. Again, he wants God to take away the flies. And so God does. Pharaoh would not obey God when he takes away the flies. And it says in verse 32, and Pharaoh hardened his heart at that time, neither would he let the people go. Again and again we see this. So he brought upon himself even more punishment. The fifth plague, the death of the livestock, the herds, the cattle. It says in Exodus 9 and verse 1, we see that the same thing all over again. Moses comes to Pharaoh and he says, you let my people go that they may serve me. Or else, and then the Egypt's cattle and their horses and their donkeys and their oxen and their sheep died. That was the fifth plague. And then the sixth plague, the boils that came upon the Egyptians. Big sores that they had to endure now. It says in Exodus 9 and verse 11, and the Egyptians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were upon the Egyptians and upon all the Egyptians. So now you see the problem is so bad that even it's on these Egyptians, it's on the magicians, so that they can't stand up. They don't want to be in there. And they can't stand up. But Pharaoh is still resistant. He's been hit with annoyances of the frogs and irritation of the flies. Now even the wealth, the cattle die, and his health, the people are sick. All of these things he suffered with, and look at what God tells him in verse 15. As he's still resisting again, he says, for now I will stretch out my hand and I will smite thee and thy people with pestilence, that thou shalt be cut off from the earth. Out of all the things that he's been suffering, first there were just annoyances, and then these annoyances and irritations and things that he suffered, now their wealth was hit and their health was hit. And now God comes to him and he said, I will smite you with pestilence, so that ye shall be cut off from the earth. Surely Pharaoh should believe this. He's seen all that God has done, all these times that he's kept his promise. He said, I will do this if you don't let the people go. He didn't let them go, he did it. I will do this if you don't let the people go. And again, he proved himself. God has kept all of his promises. Pharaoh knows that God is not bluffing. He knows that God is not playing when he says, I will cut you off from the earth with all of my pestilence. But even still, Pharaoh will not relinquish his own self-will. Even when he knows he has no power before God and that God is going to destroy him, he still says, I want control. I want it my way. Consider this a warning for us. Don't start down the path of Pharaoh. Pharaoh's path of my will. It's hard to get off. It was for him. How long will we stand before God defiant, insisting on our own will, even when we realize it's to our own detriment. And the seventh plague comes. And God rained down hail from the skies, and fire also with it. And He killed the livestock. This time, He's even killing the people. The servants that might be out in the field with them died when they were hit by this. We see how much this has progressed as we go through. Now even the people are dying. The crops are destroyed in the field. Even trees are broken off, the Bible says. And Pharaoh again is still the same. He's ready to ask God to get rid of the punishment, but not ready to change. Exodus 9 and verse 27, though, let's read here what Pharaoh does. And Pharaoh sent and called Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord for me, for it is enough that there be no more lightning and thundering and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. Wow. Has Pharaoh got it? Look at what he said. He's saying all the right things. I have sinned this time. I will let you go. He appears to have changed. He appears to have surrendered and repented. I have sinned. Forgive me. It is enough. But then notice also he said, entreat the Lord that these thunders and the hail be taken away. It's still about His punishment and not about what He's really done. Even if His words are right, He says, I have sinned. And He says, I and my people are wicked, and the Lord is righteous. He's got the right words. He's figured it out. But let's look at what He does. Has He lied? Can He change? He behaves exactly the same. So that when God tells them, takes this away, still does not let them go. And God comes again in Exodus chapter 10. Even after all of this, He's lied and He's continued the same old behavior. God also continues the same behavior. In Exodus chapter 10, verse 3 and 4, He comes back and He's saying the exact same things again. Let my people go or else. You know, we need to consider this a lesson for us in child raising. We don't have a lot of time to stop and we're considering Pharaoh more than what we're considering God's action. But notice that. This is a lesson to us in raising our kids, how that God deals with Pharaoh. He's always the same. He still, here's the expectation. Here's what I want. Here's the consequence. And God's going to follow through. He's going to follow through. He's going to keep His promise. Let's go on now to chapter 10, verse 7. And let's see what was told to Pharaoh here. And Pharaoh's servant said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve their God. Knowest thou not that Egypt is destroyed? It's clear. It's reached the point to Pharaoh that even other people are telling him, you have destroyed Egypt. Let them go. Do what God says. Stop bringing this on us. And we may reach this point in our own lives where others are saying, see, look at how your sin has destroyed you. Yet we don't want to surrender still like Pharaoh didn't. Because we're headed down that path of my will, even if my destruction. And we can reach the same point. And Pharaoh again, he tries, whenever they encourage him to go back to God, he's getting these other people saying, it's destroyed. What does he do? He goes back and he tries again to compromise. And he says, well, how many? You can go, but how many of you's got to go? Not everyone. He doesn't want everyone. He just wants a partial. Just partial. And that's what people do when they reach their real end and they can go no further. They say, okay, Lord, how much? What do I have to do? What's the minimum I can get away with? Let's don't do that with God. For we see what happens here. Pharaoh brings the eighth plague on him. The locusts The locusts come and eat the remaining of the crops. Anything that may have been spared through the hail that fell, the locust comes and eats the rest. And then again, we see in Exodus chapter 10 and 17, Pharaoh's repentance again, if you want to call it that. Sorrow, Pharaoh's sorrow. He says, "Forgive me only this once." I think this "only this once" means one more time, forgive me. Is that what we do with God? We go back and say, "One more time, God. Forgive me one more time and take away my punishment one more time." But then in Exodus chapter 10 and verse 20, Pharaoh did not let him go. He could not let go of his own self-will, his own self-rule. He does not let go. So let us be wary of ever crossing that path of our crossing our own convictions. For we see that Pharaoh would say, "I'm going to do this," but he didn't keep his own word. He would go back on his own word. Be wary of doing that. Going back on what we said we would do. The Bible said before that God is not pleased with the fool. Calls the man that does that a fool. And when we do that, we become weaker and weaker of ourselves to withstand our own lust, our own self-will. And he brings on the ninth plague, the darkness. Now remember what the people said before. They said, "Egypt is destroyed. All this that you've done, is Egypt is destroyed." But now the Egyptians are in agony, and they say their country's been destroyed. And now, on top of that, they sit in the darkness. The darkness. They sit in the darkness with their destruction, with their agony, with all their problems, sitting in the darkness. And what does Pharaoh do? He gets angry. Now Pharaoh gets angry with Moses over all of this. He's getting mad. And he says, "Get thee from me, take thee hence, see my face no more, for in the day that thou seest my face, thou shalt die." That's Exodus chapter 20 and 28. He's angry now. Do we do that and get angry with God for the consequences of our own sin? It was Pharaoh's own cycle of refusing God, repenting, getting freedom, getting a little bit of break from his punishment, and refusing God again. His own cycle brought this death and destruction upon him. But now he's mad at God over it. How far down the Pharaoh path will you and I go? How far will we go? I urge you, don't go a step. For now the tenth plague comes on him, the death of the firstborn. And the men of Egypt no longer just say, "We're destroyed. Egypt is destroyed." They say more than Egypt is destroyed now. Now they say, "Let them go, for we are all dead men." More than our country is destroyed, we're dead. That's how far they went down the path, holding on to their own self-will. And they got mad. They're so mad now they throw the Israelites out, just like God said that they would, to send them out with a strong arm. And then they're so mad, Pharaoh is still so wanting to have it his own way, and so mad that he goes and pursues after them to bring them back. Even after he's clearly lost, he's going to bring it back and he's going to take control and get it himself. And they're destroyed in the Red Sea. We know the story of how God parts the water and destroys them there in the Red Sea. Don't be destroyed in the lake of fire for our insistence on following our own will. Having it our way. Don't go down the Pharaoh path. So also, as I conclude my lesson, I want us to consider, what can we do to not be like Pharaoh? I've got two things that I want to give you right quick. First of all, don't start down the path. Don't ever put our will before God's will. Trust and obey. Trust and obey Him. And secondly, humble ourselves. Humble ourselves in true repentance. When we see we've done wrong, repent. The right repentance, as we read before. It says, in Psalms, it says, "The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Don't harden our hearts. Exodus says, I mean in Psalms and Proverbs, it tells us that if we harden our heart, we're just destroying ourselves. And that's our sermon for you this morning.
I hope we can grow as Christians through considering the bad example of Pharaoh. And this morning we want to extend an invitation.